All right, call the meeting to order. Good evening, and thank you for being here with us for our May 23rd board meeting. May 13th, thank you. All right, if you'd stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, remain standing. Pastor Barry W. Loop of First Mennonite Church of Richmond will give the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. This evening we would agree with the ancient poet who said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I suspect, Lord, that today we would be remiss were we not to give you thanks for a day of sunshine and the gift of life that you so richly and freely bestow upon us. Now may your excellence continue to be known in our commonwealth, in our nation, in our county. Be with us tonight in this boardroom. Grant wisdom to our elected officials and grant understanding and a sense of unity as we gather together, common citizens, pursuing a common goal, the welfare of all. We ask this in the name of the one who came and served and gave his life so that we might live. Amen.
Mr. Manager, I believe we have some minutes for approval this evening.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. A request is made for approval of the April 22nd, 2008 minutes, both for regular and special meeting minutes. These were distributed to you for consideration. Motion would be in order.
I move the approval of the minutes from April 22nd, both regular and special.
Okay. I have a motion for approval by Mr. O'Bannon. Is there a second?
Second.
By Mr. Thornton. Are there any changes noted? Any others? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no, and then those meetings are approved. Mr. Manager, do you have any comments this evening?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen, I have one comment this evening. I would like to ask Mr. Doug Meyer, who is the district engineer with the Office of Drinking Water, Virginia Department of Health, and also Arthur Petrini, our Director of Public Utilities, to come to the podium, if you would. I will also ask two members of Mr. Petrini's staff, Mr. Russ Nabertil, who is the Water Treatment Plant Division Director, and Ms. Carol Eisenhower, who is the Chief of Laboratory Operations, to join Mr. Petrini and Mr. Meyer. Mr. Meyer is here on behalf of the Virginia Department of Health Office of Drinking Water to present two awards to the county's Department of Public Utilities commending its excellence in the water treatment plant and waterworks operations. With only 4 operating years in service, these two awards are a testament to the staff of Henrico's water treatment plant as well as the waterworks staff, what they do on a daily basis to ensure, ladies and gentlemen, the water we drink produces the very best water in the region for each of us. The Henrico Department of Public Utilities was awarded the 2007 Virginia Excellence in Waterworks Operation Award and the 2007 Virginia Excellence in Granular Media Filter Water Treatment Plant Performance Award. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a mouthful, but it really means something to those individuals which were here. This was presented at the Water is Life 2008 Celebration Luncheon, which was in Roanoke, Virginia on May the 8th. These awards, given by the Virginia Department of Health Office of Drinking Water, have encouraged water treatment plant and waterworks personnel all over the state to strive to strive to produce more healthy water for the citizens of this entire Commonwealth. At this time, I'm going to ask the Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Mr. Dave Cackley, to join Mr. Meyer and Mr. Petrini at the podium for the presentation of the awards. Mr. Cackley? They're down there, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Good evening, board members. I am Doug Meyer, and as a regulator with the Department of Health, you can think of me as the water police. Often my job involves bad news and correction, but as you mentioned, tonight I bring good news and commendations. On behalf of the Department of Health, representing the 250,000 water consumers in Henrico, I have the pleasure of presenting a pair of awards to the dedicated servants of the Department of Public Utility. Henrico employees fighting the ongoing battle of high expectations in a changing world with new requirements and aging infrastructure. The Department of Health recently implemented a formal recognition program. Our Waterworks Treatment Plant Performance Award recognizes treatment plants that have optimized their performance. We have found that most plants can produce water that exceeds required levels without much extra cost by choosing to work more attentively. Of the 135 water treatment plants in the state, only 50% met the required criteria. Our other Waterworks Operation Award recognizes entire systems that have made significant progress in all other areas of water management, such as distribution, planning, and laboratory. We have found that systems which focus on innovations and the future do the best work in the present. Of the 3,000 systems in the state, less than 1% are being acknowledged for this type of work. Henrico Utilities has accepted the challenge and risen to the level of honor in both categories this year. First, I would like to recognize the performance of the staff at the Henrico Water Treatment Plant to produce excellent water. While we would expect the county's new facility to perform well, staff have had to work through a lot of little bugs and become familiar with many fine details to achieve this level of excellence, jumping every time a new alarm sounds. Aiming to meet the filtration goal of 95% for every unit process every month, their vigilant efforts allowed them to achieve 99.9% compliance on 250,000 samples. For that, I would like to say to the employees, Mr. Navarro, thank you very much. Second, I would like to recognize the deeds of the entire utilities department to improve water operation besides the treatment. While we do not have time to discuss or even mention all of the important accomplishments of this past year, I would like to highlight a few. Field projects like valve and hydrant maintenance and emergency generator installation are ensuring reliable water quantity today. Administrative improvements related to automatic meter reading, AMR, and the 2007 DPU facilities plan are ensuring reliable water quantity for tomorrow at the lowest possible cost. Your decision to take over 17 small community systems in Henrico will allow DPU to improve water service to 3,000 citizens. Startup efforts at a special pilot unit at the plant will allow the treatment plant personnel to reduce cost increases in the future. Last but not least, management's efforts to cross-train in the laboratory have decreased the chance for sampling violations. I would like to present to Ms. Eisenhower. Thank you. In closing, I thank you, Mr. Manager, and honorable board members for your time this evening and for empowering Mr. Petrini and his staff to do their jobs with excellence in 2007. As they face a new year of challenges and more water production, I encourage you to support their efforts for continual excellence in production of water and system maintenance. Thank you. Thank you.
It was so good, I'm going to try some of it. I think we ought to have a toast.
Mr. Petrini, any remarks on behalf of the Department of Public Utilities?
Well, I certainly want to thank the Health Department. We have worked hard. The board's worked with us to produce the results that he's described, and so I thank the board and I thank the Health Department for recognizing our efforts. And I really want to thank the staff. Again, I'm up here, and some of us staff are receiving the recognition, but it is the staff who works all night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The 250,000 samples he referenced that we achieved 99.9% compliance. Obviously, I could not stand here without the staff's diligence. So thank you. Thank them on behalf of all of us.
You know, I can't imagine not having water and what we would be able to do, what we couldn't do without it. Obviously, the A number one most important thing. Thank you.
I have no other comments, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any of the board members have any comments that they'd like to make this evening? Mr. Thornton?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and colleagues and citizens. I want to take this time to thank the members of the Board of Supervisors, my esteemed colleagues, as I've been out for a while because of surgery. And I want to thank you for your thoughtfulness. You sent me several things, a nice basket of goodies that I couldn't eat. And in addition, even staff members and even citizens sent me cards, best wishes, and had me in their prayers. And I want my parents always taught me to be grateful. And part of that gratefulness is to thank people, because you don't really have to do that. But it does matter to me as a person when someone thinks about me. So I just want to acknowledge that in this public setting, and I appreciate that so much. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, as I was perusing through the papers, since I can't do a whole lot, I want to say, as far as health is concerned, that I am on the mend. Perusing through the paper, you know, we have one of the best police departments in the county, in the state, in the country. And I did come across this. As you know, I'm called a flower supervisor. And therefore, I always like to extend those flowers when people are alive instead of putting them for a person's demise. And so as I was reading through the newspaper, I came across this. There was an organization called the National Association of Black Law Enforcement Executives, known as NOBLE. And about a week ago, they gave to a member of the Henrico Division of Police what's called a Presidential Award, and it was for his dedication and commitment to the chapter and for his exemplary leadership in initiating the Henrico County Police Athletic Program. And you may know him as Sergeant Kenneth L. Ragland. And I just think that we want to send kudos and flowers to Officer Ragland for this, as he represents Henrico County. Henrico County represents all of us. And our police department is not only one of the best, it is also certified. So, Chief, I want to extend that. Please extend that to the whole department. Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Thornton.
Mr. Thornton mentioned a national association. This week, the board was notified by the National Association of Child Care Professionals, and that was on April 25th. This is an organization based in Austin, Texas, that the national award this year went to River Road Church Preschool Development Center, and that is in the Tuckahoe District. That the River Road Church Preschool Development Center was founded in 1972, and currently the director, who's been there for 20 years, Margaret Collins, was awarded this for their work there at the school. They serve children from 10 months old to 5 years old, and they're accredited, and I think it's a real, Mr. Thornton says kudos, think it's a really great honor for them to have this national award, and it is a child care center, a daycare center that's in Air County, and it is a national award. So I was real pleased to get this and understand this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. O'Bannon, any other board member comments? We do have one special guest we'd like to recognize, a Boy Scout. I think we only have one Boy Scout this evening from Troop 737. And Danny, I can't read your last name. Is it White? Where is Danny?
Right there.
Weiger, see. Weiger, bow. Thank you. White, see. Okay. And your father is a scoutmaster? Assistant. Okay, well, and you're here for a communications badge or what? Okay. All right, well, thank you for being here. Okay, I'd like to also recognize our news media for coverage this evening. Melody Martin from Richmond Times Dispatch, I guess, but thank you, see you over there. Thank you for being here. I guess you've got the whole coverage this evening. And now that moves us into some proclamations, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. There are three proclamations to be considered for this evening. The first is proclamation for Drug Court Month, which would be May 2008. I'm going to ask Patricia A. Shaw, who is our Drug Court Administrator, to come forward. She will be joined by Wanda Sneed, who is a drug court graduate. As these two individuals come forward, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to proceed to the podium for the presentation of this proclamation.
I'd like to read this proclamation. This is a very special program for all the citizens of Henrico who receive the benefit, but particularly for those involved with the program. It's very special, and we're very proud of what you do. And this proclamation is for Drug Court Month, May of 2008, whereas drug courts combine criminal court cases and evidence-based treatment to intervene against substance abuse and related crimes, and whereas more than 100 program evaluations have yielded definitive evidence that drug courts have demonstratively effective and reduced crime, improved community health, and produced greater cost benefits than any other justice strategies. And whereas within the Commonwealth of Virginia, 29 drug courts are currently in operation with successful results, and whereas the county, Henrico County Adult Drug Court has served our community since January 2003 as a collaborative effort of the 14th Judicial Circuit and the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, the Sheriff's Office, Henrico Area Mental Health and Retardation Services, the Division of Police, the Community Corrections Program, and the Probation and Parole District Number 32 Office of the Virginia Department of Corrections. Whereas 47 participants of the Henrico County Adult Drug Court have successfully completed its intensive requirements and graduated from the program since 2003, and whereas the National Association of Drug Court Professionals is sponsoring National Drug Court Month during May 2008, and now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes May 2008 as Drug Court Month and calls this year's theme Taking Drug Court to Scale, Healthy Families, Healing Communities, and to the attention of our Henrico citizens. And be it further proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors salutes the practitioners and participants who make drug court work and acknowledge the significant contributions that drug courts continue to make in reducing substance abuse and crime, and signed by Chairman David Cackley and Clerk Barry Lawrence. So, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Hazlett, on behalf of Judge Hammond and Judge Hicks, I need to send their regrets for not being here, but they are at a mandatory judicial conference, so they were not able to be here. And we would just like to thank the county for the support of our drug court program. And I don't want to take up too much time because it's my honor to introduce Wanda, who is a graduate of our program, and she has a few words to say.
Thank you, Michelle. First of all, I'd like to say good evening to the Board of Supervisors and to others who are present. I'm Wanda Sneed, and I'm a recovering addict.
Ms. Sneed, if you would pull that microphone down to you just a little bit. Thank you, ma'am, so the audience can hear you.
Okay. I start over. Good evening, Board of Supervisors, and to others who are attending this evening. I'm Wanda Sneed, and I'm a recovering addict, and it gives me a great honor to speak on behalf of Drug Court. I just want to say a little things. I wrote something. First of all, your support for the programs has been a plus. I mean, a big plus. You may not reach all addicts, but you reach me, and I feel good about it. I ignored the truth that was staring me in the face for a long time, and I continue to do the same things and expected the same, expected different results, but I didn't get any but the same results. And I experienced a lot of negative consequences as far as going to jail, getting in trouble, just a variety of things that I could no longer face myself. So I know I needed some help. So I went to drug court, and there's so much I can say about drug court, and I don't want to waste all y'all time, but drug court put structure in my life. It gave me the initiative to have and take over responsibilities that I should have had done a long time ago. And it helps me to stay clean. It gave me the responsibility to stay clean and sober. Today, I just want to say I've been in a lot of programs, but no program is like Henrico Drug Court. I mean, I've been in a variety of programs. Henrico Drug Court has been so beneficial for me. The groups that we have at Drug Court have taught me to love myself and to become productive member of society and realize that drugs do kill. And the staff there was always willing to help, and they listened, and they taught me a lot about the disease that I had, which was addiction. And one thing about addicts is that we got to want to help ourselves, but drug court really helped me to help myself. And I see that this program works. I'm a living witness. It works. So no one can say drug court doesn't work. And I'm determined to keep an open mind and determined to be willing to continue to stay clean and sober and learn how to love myself. And I must tell y'all, drug court, it's a tight program, but it's a right program. It's right. And we need drug courts in all states. That's how I feel, because they do work. And I love being involved in Henrico Drug Court because it gave me a new way of life. And along with my God, who I call my higher power, who protects me each and every day. And I just want to say, since I've been in drug court, I've been clean now for 13 months. And the way I stay clean is I just don't use drugs anymore. And I go to meetings, I talk to my sponsor, and I continue talking to the people at Henrico Drug Court. They're not going to get rid of me. I still can keep coming back to them. So I suggest to the Board of Supervisors that y'all keep these drug courts, because they can help. They help the addict like me. And I just want to thank Ms. Shaw and y'all for having drug court, because it really helped me. Thanks for letting me share.
Our second proclamation for this evening, Mr. Chairman, is Emergency Medical Services Week, which would be May the 18th through the 24th, 2008. I'm going to ask several individuals to come forward for the presentation. John T. Tatum, who is president of the Henrico County Association of Volunteer Rescue Squads and also president of the Tuckahoe Volunteer Rescue Squad. He will be joined by Tracy Giddens Garrett, who is vice president of the Henrico County Association of Volunteer Rescue Squads and president of Lakeside Volunteer Rescue Squad. Christine Gibson and George Jarrett, members of the Lakeside Volunteer Rescue Squad. Joe Klinsman, who is the Administrative Vice President of the Henrico Volunteer Rescue Squad, and Rick McClure, who is the Assistant Chief of Operations for our Henrico County Division of Fire. The presentation will be made by Ms. Patricia S. O'Bannon, Vice Chair of the Henrico County Board of Supervisors.
I have a lot of copies of this to hand out, because when you dial 911, this is the response you get. You get a lot of response very quickly. Before I even read this, I want to point out, too, that when you dial 911, and I'm not sure everybody understands this, we have a terrific interoperable system with the city of Richmond, Chesterfield, and Hanover. And I know recently when there was a tornado through Colonial Heights, Chesterfield was immediately took over their 911 system, because, again, we've had this great interoperability. An in-air 911 center, for instance, they can just switch over, and if anything happens in our center, the city of Richmond can take over. Something happens in Chesterfield, we can take over, and it's totally interoperable, and our radios work all over. We're one, as of last November, we were one of only 9 areas in the United States that could do that. So we have terrific regional cooperation in our area. Emergency Medical Services Week, May 18th through 24th, 2008. Whereas the provision of emergency medical services, EMS, is vital to the public's well-being and dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, and whereas members of EMS teams are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas, whether career or volunteer, EMS team members engage in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills, and whereas these persons are frequently exposed to a variety of hazards and dangerous situations during the performance of their duties, and whereas Henrico citizens benefit daily from the knowledge and skills of these highly trained individuals, and whereas the Henrico County EMS system, consisting of the Division of Fire, Henrico Volunteer Rescue Squad, Lakeside Volunteer Rescue Squad, Tuckahoe Volunteer Rescue Squad, and the Division of Police, recorded 30,077 responses for service during fiscal year 2006-2007, and whereas it is appropriate to acknowledge the value and the accomplishments of EMS providers and to educate the public about injury prevention and how to respond to a medical emergency, now therefore be it proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes May 18th through 24th, 2008, as Emergency Medical Services Week, and encourages the community to mark this observance with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. And it's signed by Chairman David Cackley and attested to by Barry Lawrence, Clerk to the Board. Thank you very much for your service, both volunteer and professional.
As president of the County Association of Volunteer Rescue Squads for Tuckahoe, Lakeside, and Henrico Rescue, I would like to thank the County Board of Supervisors, all the citizens of the county for their support of the volunteers. We all one agency, one EMS system, working with the police, fire, all together day to day. And I really do appreciate all the support financially and just being there for us when we need you, coming to our banquets every night. I know that's a real burden on a lot of y'all to come to 3 banquets a year, but, you know, I really do appreciate that time. We are one agency. We have produced police officers who are now in Henrico County in positions of officers that are out there, captains and up. Fire department has a lot of our members, captains, and also that left Tuckahoe and other volunteer rescue squads and become paid providers in the county, and we're proud of that. We have doctors and nurses also that we bring through our group, so... thank you very much for allowing us to service in Henrico County.
Thank you.
Mr.
Chairman and members of the board, our last proclamation for this evening is for Older Americans Month, which will also be May 2008. I'm going to ask several individuals to come forward. Thelma Bland Watson, who is Executive Director of Senior Connections, the Capital Area Agency on Aging, joined by Gloria B. Johnson, Henrico County's representative on Senior Connections, the Capital Area on Agency Board of Directors, and Marion N. Dolliver and Fred Geiger, the Caregiver Support Managers for Senior Connections, the Capital Area on Aging. Presentation will be made by Mr. James B. Donati, District Supervisor.
I would like to invite any board members that are 60 years of age or older to join me at the podium. Right? Maybe the manager.
Toning that down, Verona.
Older Americans Month, May 2008. Whereas Henrico County is home to more than 50,000 citizens 60 years of age or older, and whereas older adults in Henrico and throughout this capital area are a growing population with evolving needs, and whereas older Americans are valuable members of our society who are rich with experience and deserving of our respect, and whereas the number of baby boomers reaching traditional retirement age continues to increase, a fact that spotlights the importance of offering increased attention to the needs of our older adults, and whereas older citizens of today and tomorrow promise to be among the most active and engaged older adult population in our county's history, and whereas communities have a responsibility to work together and prepare for changing older adult populations by strengthening the resources and systems of care available to older citizens, and acknowledging and addressing the needs and providing them with more opportunities to make informed choices for a healthy and rewarding future, and whereas our efforts can improve the quality of life of older citizens and help pave the way for future generations, and whereas Older Americans Month has been celebrated nationally each year since 1963, during which time the number of Americans aged 60 and over has increased from 17 million to 44 million, and whereas the theme of this year's observance is working together for strong, healthy, and supported communities, now therefore be proclaimed that the Board of Supervisors of Henrico County, Virginia, hereby recognizes May 2008 as Older Americans Month and encourages everyone to honor our older adults and support the professionals, family members, and citizens who care for them. And it's signed by our chairman, David A. Carrick, Board of Supervisors. And
thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, member of the Board of Supervisors, Mr. Hazlett, Mr. Drumright, we're very pleased first this evening to thank you for setting aside time to recognize our older citizens who have given so much to our communities and to recognize the growing numbers of older people that we have in our communities. We also appreciate the opportunity to recognize the many caregivers, professional care providers, and our partner organizations who do so much in the community to make our older citizens safe and to help them remain at home. And we also want to take this opportunity to thank the board and the county for your continued support, both financial and your support in encouraging us to carry forth the program. So thank you very much. We want to conclude by thanking you for having Mrs. Gloria Johnson as the county's representative to our board. She is very much our leader and our advocate, so we want to salute her this evening also. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we go into your public hearing agenda for this evening. The first item under public hearing is a request for rezoning consideration. This is 99-08, being C-63C-07 in the Verona District. This item was deferred from your April 8th meeting. It is JSN Development. It is a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District to B2C Business District Conditional, approximately 3.8 acres, located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Strath Road and New Market Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, C63-C07 requests to rezone approximately 2.9 acres. It has changed because the applicant did amend the application.
Emerson, Mr. Emerson, can you pull that a little bit?
Excuse me, I've caught a little bit of a spring cold. Again, C63-07 does request to rezone from A1 to B2C. The application has been amended to approximately 2.9 acres, and it is to construct a pharmacy and office at the southeast intersection of Strath Road and New Market Road. Commercial uses are located at the intersection's other corners, but most of the subject site is surrounded by low-density, single-family residential development. The applicant has reduced the size of the parcel from the original 3.82 acres by removing the eastern and southern corners of the parcel from the case. However, the area of the proposed development and its placement on the site remain the same. The request is not consistent with the 2010 land use plan, which recommends rural residential for the site. As shown on the layout, the applicant proposes a 14,564-square-foot pharmacy with drive-through service on the property's northern portion. It is proposed to relocate the existing Rite Aid, currently across New Market, to this site. A 3,250-square-foot office building would be constructed on the property's southern extension along Strath Road. Staff believes this request would over-intensify the site, both in its scale and type of use, placing drive-through commercial activity too close to a residential neighborhood and minimizing the area available for landscaping along New Market Road. A proffer statement has been provided in an attempt to mitigate potential impacts. Major aspects of the proffer's address: building style, external materials and appearance, use and operating limitations, screening from adjacent properties, and placement and type of stormwater management facilities. And those will be underground and on the subject property to rezoning. We also do have some elevations of the proposed development, which architecturally the building is very nice. The irregular shape of the site and its location at the corner of a well-traveled intersection reduces the potential of a land use plan recommended residential development on this property. Due to these constraints, an alternate use of the site could be appropriate if designed consistent with the character of the surrounding development. Due to the proposal's inconsistency with the land use plan and potential residential impacts, staff does not support this request. The Planning Commission recommended approval at their March 13th meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
You have B1 zoning on the three corners there?
Yes, sir. Let's go back and look. We have B1 and B1.
Mm-hmm. You're not handing out any changes or anything, piece of paper? No.
No, ma'am. No changes at this time. The only change we had was to the overall area.
Okay.
There were some changes to the proffers, but they're included in the staff report.
Okay, any question by board members for the question? From Mr. Emerson?
Chairman, I want to see if anyone would like to speak to the case tonight.
All right.
If you need to hear it, yes?
Good. Anybody in the audience, you've seen this on the screen, anybody here who is either in opposition or has any questions or concerns that you'd like the board to address? Anybody? Okay. I don't see anybody. Mr.
Dwyer. Mr. Chairman, I do understand staff's concerns about the parcel being rather tight for this type of building, and that has been the situation for a number of other uses that have been proposed for that site. But I think in the number of meetings that we've had with the residents and staff and trying to work out the best solution for this to be situated on this lot, I think the Verona Beautification Committee, who is very involved in the community, has agreed to the architectural design and the layout, and the citizens in the immediate area have too, and people are somewhat looking forward to having a nice drug store in that immediate area with the growth that has occurred in the last number of years there. So I think I'm pleased with it. I'm still not overly excited about the tightness of the lot, but I think it's going to work, and they've made every effort to try to make it work. So in saying that, I will like to follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
All right. We have a motion for approval of this zoning request by Mr. Donati. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay, that zoning is granted.
Our next case, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 120-08, this being C-10C-08 in the Brooklyn District. It is J&L Associates and McDonald's Corporation. It is a request to rezone from R4, one-family residence district, to B3C, business district conditional, two parcels known as 767-747 and parcel number 1789 and parcel number 0666, and a part of a third parcel designated as 9382, located at the southwest intersection of Deep Run and Fountain Avenues, on the east line of Fountain Avenue, approximately 100 feet south of Deep Run Avenue, and on the west line of Fountain Avenue at Southern Terminus in West Broad Street Village. The Planning Commission voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-10C-08 is a request to rezone three parcels from R4 to B3C, to allow for the expansion of adjacent business uses. Specifically, the applicant is proposing to expand the area available for storage for West Broad Hyundai and West Broad Honda. The 2010 land use plan recommends urban residential for the subject site. The proposed uses are not entirely consistent with this designation, but would be in keeping with the land use trends established by previous rezonings on adjacent properties. The applicant has provided this concept plan to indicate how the property subject to this rezoning case would be integrated into the existing uses. The applicant has submitted proffers that are consistent with the previous cases that rezoned adjacent parcels for expansion of the car dealership. These proffers commit to limitations on uses, parking lot lighting, outdoor speakers, signage, and architecture. The applicant is committed to providing a vinyl fence adjacent to residentially developed properties, and has provided a letter stating their intent to continue the vinyl fencing along Deep Run Avenue when the property is developed. This request would allow for the expansion and retention of existing commercial uses. The properties subject to this request are surrounded by commercial uses and are no longer viable as residentially zoned property. The proffers submitted by the applicant are consistent with those accepted on adjacent parcels and should provide for a level of development not otherwise possible. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission at their April 10th meeting recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
All right. Any questions, board members, Mr. Emerson?
You want to see if there's anyone here who would like to speak in opposition or asking a question or indication, Mr. Chairman?
All right, this is only a question. Anybody in the audience here tonight has any opposition or concerns, questions that regarding this zoning request? Anybody?
Hearing no opposition or no comments, I'm going to recommend we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the case.
Second. All right, motion by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Thornton that this case be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no, and that also is approved.
Next item, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, 121-08, being C-8C-08 in the Three Chop District. This is Pavilion Development Company. It's a request to amend property conditions accepted with rezoning case C-3C-98 on part of a parcel designated as 7259, located on the west line of Pouncey Track Road and approximately 485 feet south of Interstate 64. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-8C-08 would amend proffers accepted with rezoning case C-3-98
which permitted a mini storage facility and retail uses on the subject property. The applicant is proposing to amend proffers related to uses, loading doors, and traffic generation. Amendments are also proposed to add a new conceptual plan for the subject property, as well as provide architectural elevations for the proposed Merchants Tire facility that would be located on the site. The 2010 land use plan recommends mixed use for the subject site. The proposed uses, properly regulated, would be consistent with this designation. The applicant is proposing to amend six proffers accepted with C3C98. Three new proffers are also proposed. The proposed amendments pertain to this updated conceptual plan, which would apply only to the property subject to this request, new architectural elevations, and dumpster screening. Additionally, proffer number three would be amended to allow motor vehicle repair and tire sales as a permitted use. This use was specifically prohibited with C3C98. Other potentially incompatible uses have been prohibited by the applicant. Proffer number 12 would be removed in its entirety. This proffer allowed the Director of Public Works to limit development on the property if traffic generation was not adequately addressed. Public Works staff has indicated no objection to the removal of this proffer, provided that alternative access to Park Place is provided as planned. A letter committing to providing this additional access point prior to the issuance of any occupancy permits on the subject property has been provided by the owner of the remainder of the site. The applicant has also submitted three new proffers. These limit outside storage on the property and discuss the preservation of the existing mature white oak that is located on the site. The preservation of this oak tree is an important focus of the development of this property. We can go back to the conceptual so you can see that again. And the applicant has submitted proffer number 14 to provide tree protection. The items committed to follow the recommendations presented by a certified arborist and should provide for the protection of the tree during construction. Additionally, the applicant has committed to providing an alternative landscaping plan for the area under the tree. This plan would detail the types of plants to be installed should the existing white oak ever die and be removed. Staff supports this application and believes the proposed development is appropriate at this location, and the proper commitments provided by the applicant provide for quality development in keeping with the area and the recommendations of the West Broad Street Overlay District. The Planning Commission at their April 10th meeting recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Emerson. With the site plan you got showing right now, is the retail building going to be built at a later time?
The retail building's planned at a later time, yes, sir. What we have elevations for is the Merchant's Tire.
All right. So, but the material proper is in the architectural treatment would be
similar,
the
yes,
same,
sir.
Right.
But we do not have elevations for that building.
Can we go to the elevations? Kind of hard to read some of the print there, but the back elevation that you have your hand on now, that's the side that you see from Ponce Track Road?
Yes, sir, that's correct. This would be visible from Pouncey Track, which requires the change in the proffer to allow a loading door to be visible from Pouncey Track.
Yeah, okay. But in looking at your elevations, I guess there's only one vehicle door in and one vehicle door out, is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. You have one in and one out.
Okay. Yeah, those are fine. And there's something about screening of air conditioning and whatever.
Yes, sir, there are provisions for the screening of HVAC equipment and other related.
Okay.
Equipment.
And the landscape plan will come back to...
Yes, sir, that comes back. And it's done at the time of POD and comes back to the commission.
I mean, there'll be a landscape plan beyond the existing tree. And then if that happens to fail, then there's another landscape plan?
Yes, sir. We can go to Proffer 14 and read it in its entirety.
Yeah, that's a beautiful old tree, and I'm sure they're going to take all precautions to
Yes, sir. This requires... I'm sorry, excuse me.
I was just saying, it's such a pretty tree.
It is a beautiful tree. It's a very nice specimen of a white oak. The area of the property located under the mature oak tree, which is located on the property shown on the plan, shall remain undisturbed except as to the existing roadway on the property as shown on the plan, decorative seating, plantings, and maintenance, unless otherwise specifically requested and approved by the Planning Commission at the time of plan of development. The undisturbed area shall include only the area under the branch expansion as determined as of the date of the plan of development. Undisturbed area shall have a split rail or other decorative fence installed around its perimeter, unless otherwise specifically requested and approved by the Planning Commission at time of plan of development. Should a certified arborist recommend the removal of the tree due to death or disease, 30 days after notification of such recommendation to the Director of Planning, such tree is removed, proffer number 14 shall no longer apply. Then you have proffer number 15, alternate landscaping plan. At the time of landscape plan review, a conceptual landscape plan for the vicinity of the mature oak tree shall be provided as an alternative plan in the event of the removal of such tree due to death or disease.
Okay, good deal. But these elevations are conceptual. I mean, the actual plan of development will be approved by the Planning Commission.
Yes, sir, it will. But these are proffered elevations, so they should be substantially close.
The materials are proffered in here?
Well, the materials are split-face block. We have those in the proffers as well. And what you're seeing here is primarily split-face block
and brick
and glass. Proffer number two, architectural treatment. Colonial cream-colored split-face block should be used on the exterior wall surfaces of any mini warehouse buildings. And then we... are of any substantial, and the exterior of any door shall be a substantially similar color.
All right.
Exterior walls, so it is restricted to split face block, and if I can increase the, I can zoom these in, you can see the materials.
Okay, well.
On the, it calls for split face block on the.
And the materials along the base are. Is that stone or what is that?
It's either a stone or a faux stone.
Well, anyway.
Stone sill and then stone. Then you have split face block in this area.
Okay.
So it's split face block in the. Stone base and then glass and anodized aluminum.
Well, that's pretty consistent with other buildings in that area anyway.
Yes, sir.
At least
and it may actually be an upgrade.
Well, I had some concerns when I saw the elevations in black and white because it was better in color.
Yes, sir, they are.
Okay.
The color combination does seem to be in keeping with the area. It is a quality elevation building.
Okay. Are there any other questions by board members? Anybody? If not, is anybody in the audience here tonight here in regards to this case who has any concerns or questions? Any opposition? Okay. Seeing none, then I guess a motion to follow the recommendations of the Planning Commission would be in order.
Okay.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Donati and seconded by Ms. O'Bannon that this case be approved following the conditions of the Planning Commission. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. And that was granted. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 122-08, being C-14C-08 in the Fairfield District. This is Elder Homes Corporation. It is a request to conditionally rezone from B2 Business District to R3C, one family residence district, conditional, approximately 1.9 acres, located approximately 230 feet north of Nine Mile Road and 175 feet west of Baird Road at the western terminus of Chuck Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C14 CO8 is a request to rezone 1.94 acres from B2 to R3C to allow development of a single-family subdivision. Residential uses are adjacent to the east, south, and northwest. A neighborhood shopping center is situated west of the site, and a church is adjacent to the north. You have just received copies of proffers dated May 8, with an additional new proffer, number 14, indicating all dwellings shall be marketed as owner-occupied. The 2010 plan recommends suburban residential 2 for the site, which is consistent with this request. The property is also part of the 9 Mile Road Corridor Special Strategy Area. As shown on this proper conceptual plan, the applicant wishes to construct a maximum of 4 homes, resulting in a density of 2.06 units per acre. The applicant's revised proffers address the following major topics: 1,150 square feet of finished floor area per dwelling, exterior and foundation materials, conceptual plan, and architectural elevations, which we do have architecturals. We have a photo that gives you a better idea of what you're receiving. A 10-foot wide landscape buffer and 6-foot high vinyl privacy fence along the south, west, and north property lines. Landscaping plan to be provided at the time of subdivision review. Proffers provide quality assurances not otherwise available if the site were developed more intensely under its current B2 zoning. The proposed use would be a logical extension of the residential development on Bayard Road and is consistent with the 9 Mile Road Special Strategy Area, Strategy Number 4, which is to encourage the expansion of customer potential in the corridor through increased residential development to advance revitalization efforts in the area. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission recommended approval at their April 10th meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
The only change in the property is to the addition of number 14?
Yes, sir, that's correct. Additional number 14.
Ms. Emerson, do you have any idea, can one express what's the cost of one of these houses?
I'm not sure about that, Mr. Thornton. However, the applicant may be present and able to respond to that question.
Would the applicant be able to just give us some idea? Please.
Good evening. I'm Marion Cake with Elder Homes. There should be about
$165,000. $165,000?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Thornton?
No, that's it for me.
Any other questions by board members?
Let's see, Mr. Chairman, anyone in the audience may have any concerns for this to pertain to this case?
Okay. Anybody in the audience who'd like to comment or have questions regarding this proposed zoning? Seeing none,
Mr. Chairman, I think this is a good marriage for this particular area, and so I'm going to move that we follow the thinking and of the Planning Commission and grant the request for the zoning.
With
the amended proffer.
Okay.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Thornton to approve the case with the amended proffer number 14, with the additional proffer number 14, and a second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Both no, and that was also granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 123-08, being C-11C-08 in the Brooklyn District. This is Raztec Construction and Development Corporation. A request to amend proffered conditions accepted with previous zoning case C-59C-87 on a parcel of land located approximately 456 feet east of Staples Mill Road and approximately 330 feet north of West Deer Road and approximately 250 feet west of Kimway Drive. The Planning Commission also voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. This request is to amend proffers 1 and 9 accepted with rezoning case C-59C-87 regarding the permitted uses and hours of operation. The original case rezoned 7.4 acres on the east side of Staples Mill just north of Wistar Road to M1C, to allow the development of office warehouses and retail uses. The front portion of the development, known as Wistar Center, was completed in 1989. Development of the rear portion, known as Wistar Commons, has recently been completed. This request pertains only to the rear portion of the property, consisting of 2.12 acres. Although the property is owned M1C, Proffer 1, accepted with the former case, prohibits all uses first permitted in the B3 business district. The applicant wishes to amend this proffer to allow two types of businesses, automobile or truck tires or parts, sales, service, and installation, and second, plumbing, electrical, and heating shops. In addition, the applicant has clarified and listed additional uses to be prohibited, including but not limited to check cashing and payday loan establishments, funeral homes, and bars. Because the M1 district also allows 24 operation of uses, the applicant has provided additional language in Proffer 9 stating uses would adhere to the B2 hours of operation. There's one revision to this proffer that you just received, stating that the Sunday hours previously proffered would be from noon to midnight instead of 2 a.m. All other proffers accepted with C59C 87 have been restated and will remain. The 2010 land use plan recommends light industrial. The additional uses proposed with the amendment of Proffer 1 would be compatible with the surrounding and existing uses on the site. In addition, no outside storage or retail display would be permitted. Therefore, staff supports this request, and as stated earlier, the Planning Commission recommends approval at their April 10, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
All right, Denny. Board Member Sam, question.
I only have one question. I was by the other day, and I looked at they have replaced the fence, I believe, but there was a gap in that fence. Well, I think there was a gap in it to begin with. I'm not sure. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Chairman, there was a clarification, Ms. Moore, on the proffer number 9. Would you read that to me again?
I can. It states, the new part is in the beginning. It says the hours of operation for all uses on the property identified with GPIN 772-752-0526, Wistar Commons, shall adhere to the B2 Business District regulations. Then it goes into the previous accepted proffers for retail uses. Outside activity and general service to the public shall not be permitted between 2 a.m. and noon on Sunday. I'm sorry, I don't have the revised one.
The revised says 6 a.m. and noon on Sunday should not be permitted, so it would be permitted between noon and 6 a.m.?
I think that's correct. Should be noon and 12 midnight.
Right, the intent was
to allow
it from noon to midnight.
What is it? Tell me what it means right now, what it says. What does that proffer mean? When can I operate if I'm operating a business there?
You could operate from basically Monday through Saturday from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight.
Yes.
And on Sunday, the intent was from...
No, but what does it say here?
Let's see. Between 6 a.m. and noon on Sunday.
Because you could not operate between 6 a.m. and noon.
Right.
Meaning you could operate from noon until the following 6 a.m.?
No.
From noon till 12 midnight.
That's the correction.
Shall not be permitted between 6 a.m. and noon, which means that the remainder of the time, which would be noon to 12 midnight, they could operate. I think that's what I read here, and that's what I thought it was.
I just want to make that clarify that it is midnight rather than going to 6 a.m.
That's correct. I think we might give the planning director a heartburn to interpret it, but I think it's appropriate. Could have worded it a little differently. Mr. Chairman, would you see if there's any opposition to this case or if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak to it?
All right. Anybody who's involved or have any concern or questions of what's been discussed here in these proposed proper changes? Anybody have any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, hearing no opposition, no comments, I would move we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the case with the amended proffer that's been submitted tonight.
Second.
This is for proper changes only, is it not?
Correct.
Right, okay. And is there a second to Mr. Glover's?
Yes, yes.
Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton, that we accept these amended proper conditions. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, before the next case, I'd like to, have we dispensed with this?
Oh, we approved it, but...
We have approved it?
Yeah, but you have a question?
No, not about this case. I want to wait to... Have you completed it?
Yeah, right.
Okay. This is my question, really, to the manager. Mr. Manager, in the previous case of... I'm looking at Proffer 14. I don't recall that I've seen this wording before, and I guess I'm going to ask for a clarification. What does this mean? In Proffer 14, I'm referring to it, says ownership, all dwelling units shall be marketed as owner-occupied homes. I'd like to have some clarification as to what that means. I've never seen this wording before, and I want to make sure that I understand it.
I agree, Ms. Thornton. My interpretation, that is, these will not be offered for rent. But, again, I have to refer to the attorney as far as...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Thornton, I would agree with the county manager. What it means, Mr. Thornton, is when they're offered for sale, they will be offered for sale, not as rental property. However, that would not preclude future owners who had purchased the properties from then renting them. I think we get into some legal issues down the line if we try to restrict future homeowners who may or may not want to rent their property. So this proffer states and requires that this start out as an owner-occupied residence.
Well, Mr. Attorney, is this, though... Is this? I guess I'm trying to ascertain here. This looks like to me what I won't use this term that I've heard someone else use, but I've heard the term weasel language. Is this really good language here? Is this still a good language? Does the intent?
Well, Ms. Thornton, in all due respect, I would not personally consider it weasel language. Actually, it's carefully crafted to be legal because, as I say, you cannot forever restrict the rental of property, in my opinion. And so we have worked with the planning department to answer your really initial question. You don't see this often. However, the board has accepted this proffer, I would say, at least a half dozen times that I can recall. It does come up from time to time.
So then...
Particularly in townhouse and multifamily units.
Okay, and so for my edification then, this is a good thing in the sense of we won't have speculation with homes like this?
Well, Ms. Thorne, I can't express an opinion on the good or bad of it. I think, again, the intent is that these homes would start out being owner-occupied. In other words, they would not start out as rental property. I think there are planning studies, and this here I would have to defer to the planners and really the management, and it's really a policy issue, but there are some opinions out there that communities are better the more you have owner-occupied homes. Now, realizing, obviously, that some people cannot afford to buy homes and rent. But the idea here, and particularly where you had elder homes, and I think you heard the price,
right,
which was an affordable housing project.
Well, that additional proffer was added since the Planning Commission heard the case, and I wonder where that request came from. Do you know, Ms. Thornton?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yes, sir. That request came from staff, Mr. Cackley.
Okay.
And it was to ascertain that they would initially be offered for sale.
Right.
And we do occasionally request that to make sure that at least the first ownership or they're marketed for sale versus somebody holding four or five houses and running them.
Right.
Was that was this at the request of the Planning Commission or the elected official in the area, or did staff, after the Planning Commission heard the case and voted on it, did you decide that that would be a good idea?
It was requested by the administration, yes, sir.
After the Planning Commission had heard it.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Manager, I think that's, I've seen several of those, and I'm not sure that I agree with allowing that unless it's brought to the attention. And it may very well be that it needs to go back to the Planning Commission to be heard again whenever staff decides to put something on it that no one has thought of.
Mr. Glover, members of the board, we'll look into that. I understand your concern, sir.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Mr. Thornton?
Yes, because I think, because my query really is on a different discussion here, and this is not the time for it.
Okay.
Thank you,
well, the case has been approved, and that.
Oh, yes,
that
I have no problem with
and the
case.
And that was pointed
itself.
Out as the only proper change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, can we'll move on to the next case, Mr. Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, the next item, 124-08, being C-12-08 in the Barina District. This is Lake Ridge Builders. A request to rezone from R5 General Residence District to R2A, One Family Residence District, approximately 0.6 tenths of an acre, located on the east line of Pleasant Street and approximately 390 feet north of Yates Lane, and also at the southwest intersection corner of Emerson and Jefferson Street. Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore?
Thank you again. This request, as mentioned, is to rezone two parcels, approximately 0.6 of an acre, from R5 General Residence District to R2A One Family Residence District. The parcels are located along Pleasant Jefferson Street and are adjacent to a larger R2A zone parcel, which was previously under consideration for Ashley Manor Single Family Subdivision, and this was subsequently withdrawn. The existing residential subdivisions that surround the properties range in zoning from R2A to R5. The land use plan recommends suburban residential 2 at a density of 2.4 to 3.4 units per acre. The R2A one family district permits up to 3.23 units per acre, which would be consistent with the land use plan recommendation. The site is also located with the Airport Safety Overlay District. The applicant intends to incorporate the subject properties within the larger adjacent parcel. This would provide more flexibility and a more unified subdivision development with access to adjacent roads. Staff believes the request would be a logical extension of single-family use in the area and supports this request. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at their April 10, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you have.
All right. Any questions, board members or Mr. Moore?
Chairman, see if anyone's in opposition or needs some.
Okay, I'll ask you one more time here. Anybody in the audience who is in opposition or has any concerns or questions concerning this requested zoning? Would you like to come up and identify yourself and give us your concerns?
I really don't know. This is one of my first meetings, but I am Nikki Jones, and I live at 305 Leatherhead Court, which is right on Pleasant Street. And as I understand, the housing that is proposed to be placed on facing Pleasant Street will actually be pretty close to my backyard. And I came to kind of find out the layout and how it would affect me and especially my older neighbor who couldn't make it here today, as far as our backyard and how close it would be and if there's going to be any privacy, because right now there's just open common land where people can just run through. And I rather enjoy my backyard and my clothesline.
So
So if I could see, is there, I saw some other pictures of, like, proposed plans. I don't know how it's going to lay out. I'm not really equipped to understanding all of these terms right here. So if I could get some layman terms and explain to me how it may lay out and how it may affect my condo area, that would be appreciative.
Okay.
Can you,
Can you do that and actually show the board, because this map is so small we can't actually see where Leatherhead Court is.
Okay. Let me see if I can.
The previous, I'm assuming that you live in the condominiums right here where the screen is.
Ms. Moore, you want to make it just a little bit larger?
A little bit larger.
So, Ms. Jones, if you live right there where she's showing in those condominiums, is that where you live? You see that it's actually on the opposite side of that road proposed, so it's actually not affecting your backyard, is it, Ms. Moore?
No, sir. In fact, we would have to go through a subdivision requirement. It would have to have side and front and rear yard setbacks in addition to that.
The proposed Ashley Manor subdivision, has that been approved, or is that still in consideration?
No, sir. This was actually withdrawn.
Okay.
And the intent of that is to incorporate these two and come back for subdivision approval.
So there may be another subdivision which would go through the development process, which she would know about.
Yes, sir. And we can make sure we contact you and put your contact information in the file when that does come up, that you can speak toward that with the planning staff.
But what you're showing here is that there would be a road that would be behind her condo. Is that what that was showing?
Mr. Bannon, this shows the previous one that was withdrawn, but it did indicate the road would apparently stop there, but it does indicate it would connect to Pleasant up through potentially Jefferson. That's not known for sure at this point.
Well, it says that, and that they were intending to connect it to what, Pleasant?
Right.
That was what the reason that they wanted to change the zoning. So I'm assuming that means that the road is going to be somewhere behind that area in some location.
Definitely got to be a road for it to be developed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those two parcels combined are approximately 2/3 of an acre, right?
With all of these combined, it would be about 3.35 acres.
Right. But I mean, the two that you have there, that they are together approximately 2/3 of an acre.
Yes, sir.
And then that would all be combined with this R2A land for new subdivision.
Yes, sir.
And
they indicated that they could probably do the previous one's about 6 lots. When they come through, they indicate about 8 lots, so 2 additional lots.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Does that kind of solve or answer some of your? You understand that?
Ms. Jones, if you give us your name and telephone number, we'll help you understand this process. In reality, there's nothing happening right now, but what I want to make sure is that you understand it is possible in the future, and I want to make sure that we get that information to you when it does occur.
Okay.
Ms. Moore, we'll help you there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Anybody else in the audience who has any comments or questions?
Okay. Seeing them, Mr. Chairman, this is a pretty straightforward case. It's actually downzoning, so
right.
I would follow a recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon, that this zoning request be approved following recommendation of the Planning Commission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. And that is approved. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 125-08, being C-16C-08 in the Tuckahoe District. This is Ronald W. Vaughn. It is a request to amend property conditions accepted with the previous case C-25C-92 on a parcel designated as 3910, located between the northeast line of Cherrywood Drive and the northwest intersection of Clearwood and Gayton Roads. Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore?
Thank you. This is a request to amend Proffer 4C of Rezoning Case C25C92 pertaining to the species and height of supplemental tree plantings. The subject property is zoned O2C and is improved with a two-story office building constructed in 1994. As part of the approval of the office development, Proffer 4 commits to specific landscaping and buffering to provide a transition to the adjacent residential neighborhoods. This includes a 75-foot wide buffer along the site's northwest boundary and a 30-foot wide buffer along the western and southern boundary shared with Edmund Forest neighborhood. Proffer 4C further specifies that these buffers shall be supplemented with 10 white pine trees at a minimum height of 15 feet at these specific locations, with 6 white pines here and 4 additional at the northwest boundary. Since the original planting of these trees, several in this area in the group of 6 have died and had to be replaced several times. Due to the ongoing issues and vitality of the white pines, the applicant wishes to amend Proffer 4C to strike the language of that specific tree and just replace with evergreen, which would have allow more flexibility in an appropriate evergreen dislocation. The proposed change would also allow the minimum plant height to be reduced from 15 feet to 10 feet in height. Smaller trees are more likely to become established, and the height reduction would also expand the inventory of available trees. In addition, the applicant has provided language of a maintenance program to address concerns expressed at the Planning Commission from adjacent residents. The proposed changes would provide substantial initial screening and would also allow the appropriate flexibility to support the buffer's long-term success, and therefore staff supports this request. And as mentioned, the Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at their April 10, 2008 meeting. This concludes my presentation. I would be happy to take any questions.
Yeah, no, the maintenance program, I think, is very important. There's a fence. Oh, good. There's a fence there, and there isn't any, the other area where Cherrywood Drive,
right,
stub road's there, stub road ends there. The concern was for the maintenance would be the watering of those plants. So when it says there's a maintenance schedule for new landscaping, mowing schedule, and so on, is there any provision for, like, being sure they're watered? Because there's no sprinkler bag.
I do believe it's irrigated, and I do believe the representative here is to speak specifically addressing that. So.
Okay. Just want to make sure that part, because that seemed to be what the problem was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the addition of the maintenance program that would be submitted to the planners. Mr. Chairman, would you please see if there's anyone here who objects to this? Because I didn't know.
All right. We have a request to change the proffers. In this case, a proffer concerning landscaping. Anybody in the audience has any comments or questions?
Any questions?
Concerns? Seeing none.
Could you just ask that question of is Mr. Conlon? Oh, Mr. Conlon's here. Just want to make sure that's clarified for the folks that are here, because they are here to hear the case, but they're not objecting. I just want them to hear it from you.
Yes, Mrs. O'Bannon. Mm-hmm. Mr. Manager, members of the board, Andy Conlon, I'm here on behalf of Ronnie Vaughn. The intent was that we drafted to the Planning Commission, through the discussion with the Planning Commission, was that because the white pines were quite frankly inappropriate based on what the county staff had said with the shade and the type of soil, that this would be better. But part of the problem is the maintenance. And mm-hmm. as part of our submission of the landscaping plan, when we decide specifically what type of species, would also include the maintenance program for that as far as once they get planted, but also the maintenance of that entire area. So that will be included as part of the approval process with the county. So the landscape planning architects from the county can take a look at that and say, based on this species, this is how you should maintain it and, you know, water it, and, you know, this time of year it should be planted, et cetera. So that would be all part of that.
Absolutely. That was a very important part of the case originally.
Certainly. Well, and then
just keep it green and look alive.
Mr. Vaughn doesn't. He's gone through this and replanted these trees a number of times and doesn't want to have to do this again. So
okay.
Everyone's best interest.
For clarification, Mr. Ben, does that include irrigation, an irrigation system, or
Yeah, he already has an irrigation system out there for the common area. There's some lawn area. So, yes, that's already out there. So that'll incorporate that as already using what's already out there.
There's nothing about that in the proffer, though, right?
Well, but the maintenance program has to be submitted to the staff, yeah. Depending on the type of species, it'll all get approved as part of the landscape plan and the maintenance program, as far as the staff will get approval for that.
Okay. Well,
the last sentence, Mr.
This is about proffer changes.
Well, the proffer change was because the original one was very specific as to the type of plant.
Oh.
And through the years, as you heard, it's been replaced several times for whatever reason.
Right. Well, the hurricane came through and knocked them down originally.
Well, but a lot of different reasons. And so the case is concerned in making sure there's something green and alive back there to act as a nice landscape buffer area. That was the main thing. So they're offering to, that was part of, I will say, a compromise, but make them a little shorter so they'll be sturdier as they grow, get an evergreen that will work there. Comes in what I consider one of the examples that maybe we got a little too specific on what plants should have been used. But I think this will hopefully, this will work and it'll be maintained as green and growing.
And watered. Okay. Any other question by board members? If not, Ms. O'Bannon.
I'm hoping this will help because I have through the years, it has been a problem to keep something green and growing in that location. So I move we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and approve case C16C08.
Second.
All right. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, seconded by Mr. Dye that this proper changes be approved. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed no. They are approved.
Next case, Mr. Chairman. 126-08 being C-17C-08, also in the Tuckahoe District. This is Thomas B. Porterfield. The request to amend proffered conditions accepted with previous case C-17C-91, located at the northeast corner of the intersection of Patterson Avenue and Gaskins Road. The Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore?
Thank you. This request would amend proffers accepted with rezoning case C-17C-91, which rezoned the subject property from B1 to B2C. The site is located at the northeast intersection of Gaskin Road and Patterson Avenue and is improved with an existing service station with fuel pumps and a convenience store. The applicant wishes to amend the four proffers accepted with the original case to allow the expansion of the convenience store. In addition, five new proffers are proposed, which detail the site and building design for the proposed renovation. Mm-hmm. Proffer 3 currently limits the size of any convenience store to 900 square feet. The applicant is proposing to amend this proffer to allow 2,000 square feet for maximum. For the expansion, the existing service bays at the rear of the building would be removed. Therefore, the applicant proposes to amend proffers 1 and 4 to remove service of automobiles as a permitted use. In addition to the expansion of the convenience store, the applicant is also proposing to construct a car wash at the rear of the building. To ensure the site would be developed in a quality manner, the applicant is proposing five new proffers, committing to the site plan as shown here and the following elevations. Other proffers pertain to trash receptacles, screening materials for retaining walls, and landscaping. Additional restrictions have been added on uses and signage, and they're also proposed. The 2010 Land Use Plan recommends commercial concentration for the subject site, and this request would allow a logical expansion of the existing convenience store on the property. The upgrades to the building and the submitted proffer condition should ensure a quality development not otherwise possible. Therefore, staff does support this request. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I just have one that I received earlier. Does going from B1 to B2 change the hours of operation?
No, ma'am, it does not.
Okay. Okay.
And that the B2 is already in place.
Yeah.
All right. So you're amending some of the existing proffers and adding a bunch of other ones, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you check and see if there's anyone?
Yes. Okay, correct. One more question there. Anybody in the audience who is here regarding this case have any questions, concerns about the proposed changes to the proper conditions here? Anybody? Good. Okay.
Often I've been asked, why are we building so much in the far western part of the county and not fixing up what we have closer in? And to me, this is a good case of this area in general and that intersection, in that area specifically, as older buildings that, because the area is so, and it's such a good location and with other properties that are being developed about it and improved, that folks are rethinking, you know, their own improvements at these locations. And this, they've done a good balancing act of changing somewhat the uses, but also, I think, improving the look specifically while they're changing somewhat of the use of the property. And it fits into that area very well. So with that said, I'm following the recommendation of the Planning Commission and moving to approve case C-17-C-08.
Second. All right, motion by Ms. O'Bann and second by Mr. Denati that we follow recommendations of the Planning Commission and accept the amended proffer conditions for this case. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Is approved.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, your last rezoning consideration for this evening, 127-08, being C-15-08 in the Fairfield District. This is Barrington Investors. The request to rezone from R5 AC, General Residence District Conditional, to C1, Conservation District, approximately 2.7 acres, located generally along the 100-year floodplain between the east line of the CNO Railroad and the west line of Barrington Road at its intersection with Yaden Road. The Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore.
Thank you. As stated, with the approval of Dillon subdivision with C-65-C-06, Proffer 17 stated, it requires the applicant to request rezoning to C-1 Conservation District prior to the final plan of development approval for the property. Therefore, the applicant is requesting this rezoning. The 2010 land use plan designates the site in question for Environmental Protection Area and Suburban Residential 2. The requested zoning classification is consistent with this designation and would fulfill the requirements proffered with this development. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay.
And Ms. Moore, this conservation area, that in no way will be deleterious to the proposed subdivision of Dillon Place?
No, sir. In fact, it would be in keeping. It would reflect, actually, the creek and the 100-year floodplain adjacent to Dillon subdivision.
Okay, any other questions for Ms. Moore?
Ms. Chairman, you want to see if anyone has any comments about this case?
Anybody in the audience here tonight would like to ask any questions or concerns about this requested zoning to conservation district? Anybody?
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Thornton, second by Mr. Glover, this zoning request be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And it is. Thank you. Is that it, Mr. Manager?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that's it for rezoning. You still have six additional items under your public hearing agenda. The first item, 128-08. This is a resolution for MTP-1-08. This is to delete Concept Road W-3 between Rasmussen Drive Extended and White Eck Road from the 2010 Major Thoroughfare Plan, all located in the Verona District. Mr. Emerson?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. The Board of Supervisors at its meeting on March 11 adopted a resolution directing county staff to initiate a study of Concept Roads W-2 and W-3 in their entirety. Based on the results of that study, staff is bringing forward a proposed amendment to the 2010 Major Thoroughfare Plan for the removal of a portion of Concept Road W-3. The portion of Concept Road proposed for deletion is located between Rasmussen Drive and White Oak Road. Concept Roads W-2 and W-3 are planned to be minor collector roads, providing a road network from White Oak Road at Windsor Road, westbound approximately 6,100 feet, then south approximately 1,500 feet to Elko Road. Concept Road W-3 would also intersect Rasmussen Drive, which is also shown extending to Elko Road. All of the parcels adjacent to Concept Roads W-3 and W-2 are currently zoned A-1.
An existing R2A subdivision, Shady Oaks, is located just to the north along existing Rasmussen Drive. The 2010 land use plan designates the areas adjacent to concept roads W2 and W3 as suburban residential 1 and 2. These designations indicate detached single-family uses with a density of 1 to 2.4 and 2.4 to 3.4 units per acre, respectively. Concept roads W2 and W3 are planned to traverse through a total of 8 parcels. One of the larger parcels abuts the Windsor and Shady Oaks subdivision to the north and east and does not have road frontage or access to existing roads in the 2010 major thoroughfare plan. For this reason, it is not recommended the segment of concept road W3 west of Rasmussen Drive extended be removed at this time. 3 parcels adjacent to the eastern segment of concept road W3 currently have access to Elko Road or White Oak Road or both. The only exception is a parcel that currently has a pending subdivision filed, referred to as Self Ridge. The proposed layout for Self Ridge subdivision would access Elko Road via Scaffold Court and Chili Lane. The conceptual alignment of the eastern portion of Concept Road W3 was also intended to provide connectivity to Windsor Road. Because Windsor Road terminates to the east with no plan for extension, deletion of this segment of Concept Road W3 does not create concerns for the future transportation network in this area. It is not foreseen the deletion of Concept Road W3 between White Oak Road and Rasmussen Drive extended from the 2010 major thoroughfare plan would have adverse impacts on surrounding properties, future development of such properties, or the larger road network in the area. For these reasons, staff recommends the removal of the portion of Concept Road W3 between Rasmussen Drive extended and White Oak Road. At their April 10, 2008 meeting, the Planning Commission recommended approval of this major thoroughfare plan amendment. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
This is just a procedural question, but under the new 2026 major thoroughfare plan,
mm-hmm.
Could this section have been deleted?
Yes, sir, it could have.
It could have? Mm-hmm. Couldn't wait for that. Yeah. All right. Any question by board members?
Mr. Chairman, see if anyone's in opposition.
All right, anybody in the audience who's in objects to the removal of this future thoroughfare plan or this segment of the thoroughfare plan? Okay.
Seeing that, Mr. Chairman, I file a recommendation of Planning Commission and staff on a portion of W3 concept road deletion.
All right.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Dine and seconded by Ms. O'Bannon that we accept this change of thoroughfare plan. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay.
Still under your public hearing agenda, 129-08. This is an ordinance for vacation of right-of-way in Hilliard Park, located in the Brooklyn District. Right?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, approval of this ordinance will vacate 73.41 square feet of right-of-way for Lynbrook Drive adjacent to Lot 95 in Hilliard Park. The owners, Matthew and Melissa Barrick, have partially constructed a garage which does not meet the 10-foot setback requirement from Lynbrook Drive. To correct this encroachment, Mr. and Mrs. Barrick have requested the vacation of the right-of-way. If vacated, an easement for drainage and utility facilities will be reserved. The Real Property Department has processed this request of vacation through planning, public facilities, and public works.
Okay. Any board members have any questions? This is in Brooklyn. Mr. Glover, you okay? Anybody, this is also a public hearing. Does anybody in the audience have any comments or questions concerning this? This is a vacation ordinance to vacation right away, Hilliard Park.
I was going to wait and see if they wanted to speak because they've been very good about it too. They've behaved and they've waited patiently. But Mr. Chairman, I would move that we follow the recommendation of staff and delete the right of way. And retain the easement there.
Second. Okay, motion by Mr. Glover and second by Mr. Thornton to pass this ordinance for vacation the right of way. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Then that is.
But look at the education, y'all guys.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 130-08 is a resolution. This is for signatory authority for a quick claim of a portion of a utility easement in Town Center West, located in the Three Chop District. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the chairman and clerk to execute a quick claim deed in a form approved by the county attorney, releasing the county's interest in portions of a utility easement in the Town Center West project. The owners in the project have conveyed to the county the easements and constructed the facilities to replace the portions to be quick claimed. There is no need for the county to retain these portions of the easement. This request has been processed through Departments of Public Utilities and Planning without objections. Public Utilities and Real Property recommend approval of this action.
Okay. This was a utility easement that we really don't need.
And it's been relocated, a new easement provided.
Give it back. Okay. It's also a public hearing. Anybody in the audience who has any objection to this easement proposal? Change. Okay. And a motion to approve would be in order.
Move the resolution.
All right. Second. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, seconded by Mr. Denied that we approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 131-08 is an ordinance for vacation of a portion of an alley easement located on Lot 6, Block V in Tuckahoe Village in the Tuckahoe District. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this ordinance will vacate a portion of the alley easement across the rear of Lot 6 and Block V of Tuckahoe Village. The owners of the lot, Carter O. Chapman and Donna S. Chapman, would like to construct a garage, but a portion would encroach into the easement if not vacated. The alley is not used by public traffic, and there are no utility facilities in the easement, and none are planned in the future. Real Property has processed this request through Planning, Public Utilities, and Public Works without objection.
Is there any other, are there any other houses along there that have an alley easement that will remain there?
Throughout that section of the subdivision.
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking if you're going to give up part of it, you might as well give up all of it. But would each person have to request it?
It would be, have to be requested by the lot owner.
It has to be requested by each owner? I mean, okay. Is there any other alley? I didn't understand the answer, though.
It's an alley easement, Ms. O'Bannon.
Easement.
After a period of time, Henrico County alleys were not constructed. Mm-hmm. From time to time, property owners wish to vacate the easement. If they use it in the backyard, it creates no problem. But if they want a setback or they want something there, they...
Well, I don't have a problem with that, but are there any more along the same area getting easements?
I would suspect there are, and it's only speculation. So let's check the record and bring it back to you.
Just interested in knowing that.
Well, they wouldn't have an alley easement along one lot, would they?
No, and normally our maps would show if there had been previous.
Yeah, because it looks like they may already be building.
Yes,
that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
There's several that look like they're in the alley, even if they're...
Normally our maps do show if there were previous vacations.
Well, usually we have a little crosshatch area or something that goes down there, and this map is different than the ones we've usually had.
Okay. So let us check it for you, but okay. I would suggest that this is reasonable for the public.
Oh, no, I don't have any problem with it. I was just interested to find out if there isn't any more along there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, would you see if anyone's here?
This is also a public hearing. Anybody in the audience would like to comment on this ordinance to vacate a portion of this alley easement behind this lot? Seeing none, Ms. O'Bannon.
Move the ordinance.
Move by... Mr. Bannon, second by Mr. Denied, the ordinance be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Approved.
Item 132-08 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for acquisition of real property at 10101 Three Chop Road, located in the Tuckahoe District. This is the item that was discussed with you in closed meeting earlier this afternoon. This is a public hearing. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the county manager to execute an agreement in a form approved by the county attorney between Philip C. Kennedy and Constance C. Kennedy and the county for the acquisition of real property containing 0.938 acres, more or less, and located at 101 Three Chopped Road. Mm-hmm. The property is adjacent to and surrounded on three sides by the county's water treatment plant at 10111 Three Chopped Road. Mm-hmm. The Director of Public Utilities and the Real Property Department recommend approval of this action.
Okay. We did discuss this in the work session, but are there any other questions remaining, board members? Okay. This is in Tuckahoe District.
Is there anyone in opposition to this?
Yeah, it's acquisition piece of property off of Three Chopped Road. Anybody in the audience has any questions, concerns in Tuckahoe District?
Okay. Seeing no one, I'm pleased we used a new method of getting appraisals along with their assessment. So I move the resolution for acquisition of real property. Move we approve it.
Second.
All right, moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Nye that we approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's approved.
Last item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on your public hearing agenda this evening, 133-08. This is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for the lease agreement with the United States of America acting by and through a duly authorized official of the United States Coast Guard. This is in the Verona District. This was previously mentioned to you prior to the meeting. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the county manager to execute a lease agreement with the United States of America for the Coast Guard in a form approved by the county attorney for 452 square feet of ground space and space for four communications antenna on the county's Runnymede Communications Tower. The initial term of the lease would be for 5 years with yearly renewals thereafter not to exceed 20 years. The initial yearly rental rate will be $56,400, beginning October 1st, 2009, and each October 1st thereafter, the rent shall increase 3% over the rent for the preceding year. The Directors of Public Utilities, General Services, and the Real Property Department recommend approval of this resolution.
Okay. We did discuss this in the work session. I think the manager also sent us a letter, but are there any further questions?
Yeah.
Did we get a credit check on the applicant?
Yes.
They're spending an awful lot of money recently.
This, but there's four. Are these four separate antennas, or
could be, Mr. Chairman, up to four antennas for the Coast Guard?
Yeah, but they we don't know whether dish or vertical. Or
we what. Don't at this time. This is what will have to be worked out with them.
Okay.
Serial bowl.
Does this leave us with any other capacity on the tower for maybe some other agency that might need it, like FBI or whoever, you know?
It would, from a public safety standpoint, yes, sir. We would only consider
we got some more room on that for
public safety on this tower. And it would be under restricted conditions similar to what we've done with the Coast Guard.
And they must be below our antennas, are they not?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And, this is also public hearings?
Yes.
Yes. This resolution to approve the lease of antennas to the Coast Guard. Anybody in the audience have any questions, comments? If not, a motion would be approved.
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I move the resolution.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Mrs. O'Bannon to approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Is approved, and we have public comment here.
We have no one signed up for public comment, Mr. Chairman. There may be individuals in the audience.
Okay. This is an area of the meeting where the board will entertain any public comment from anybody in the audience. Okay, as long as the subject is not on the board agenda.
Spencer, my wife is Dr. Spencer. She's not here tonight. I thank you all, board members, for putting that center down for Frank Thornton. Thank the Lord for that, because these kids now need somewhere to go, and that'd be a good place for them to go and have some programs down there. Then I'm going to get to your police department. I go all over this county, You got a great police department in Henrietta County. I know Monroe. Got a good one down there, too, in Richmond. And we came, me and Frank Thorne came to Jackson Ward many years ago. And we know we had what you call the Bengal Center. And they had the children, we got a lot of them graduated from Bengal Center. I had an uncle, had his PhD, he went to Bengal Center. So it's a great thing to have that program down there. And you got one of the best police departments in the United States. I go all over the United States. And all the counties, all the United States you go, you see children running all over the street. Now, I know Ms. Randolph. I know her very well. We need those kind of people now in this county. He used to call me a philosopher years ago. I predicted that Short Pump would be a busy place. I told you, talked to Dr. Singer many years ago. My wife taught down there years ago. And I predicted that MCB would go up towards where it's at VCU. So I thank you all for doing this board, for passing that thing for Frank Thorne. And I hope that it would do well down there. I think it would do well to get the right people down there. I'm getting there 80 years old, so I can't do nothing now. I'll be 80 years old my next birthday. I've been coming to this board for over 40 years. So I thank God I could get here. And thank you all very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Right. Spencer, for being here and for your comments. Anybody else would like to make any comments to the board this evening? If not, we'll move on with the general agenda.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, moving into your general agenda, the first item for this evening is 134-08. This is a resolution granting signatory authority. This is the grant recipient agreement for Workforce Investment Area 9, the Capital Area Training Consortium. Mm-hmm. I don't see Ms. Tiller here. Approval of this paper will authorize the county manager to execute the agreement, which I've mentioned, between the Virginia Community College System and the local Workforce Investment Area 9 grant recipient, which at this point is in Waco County. Pursuant to the Capital Area Consortium Agreement of 1999, Waco County does serve as a grant recipient for the seven counties that comprise the Capital Area Workforce Investment Board. Waco receives and manages all of the Investment Act funds allocated to this area. This agreement replaces the August 2001 agreement with the Virginia Employment Commission. The governor's executive order, number 61, designated the Virginia Community College System as the replacement administrative entity and physical agent for all Virginia Workforce Investment Acts. Mm-hmm. We've processed this. Everyone does agree. It is in conformance with the direction of the state, and we would recommend it to you.
Okay.
It is at the direction of the state.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
I know there was a lot of discussion about switching over to the community college system.
Doesn't have anything to do with the new building, does it?
No, sir.
All right. Any other questions for the manager? Okay.
Six and one half.
The procedure.
Okay.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denai, that we approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
I know that the discussion centered on the fact that the community colleges had rigid schedules, but I know they're being more flexible.
Yeah.
So I think it will work.
Yeah, we see this as simply a procedural process. Okay. Item 135-08 is a resolution. This is authorization to apply for and accept $14,000 in state fire service grant funding from the Commonwealth of Virginia through the Virginia Department of Fire Programs for renovations to our current burn building. Chief
McClure.
Move
the resolution.
Second. All right. Any discussion, Chief?
Any questions?
All right. If there are no questions, all in favor say aye. Move
aye.
By Mr. Glover, Mr. Glover.
Second by Mr.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Thank you.
Item 136.
Burning it down.
Item 136-08 is a resolution. This is authorization to apply to the National Weather Service to achieve Storm Ready certification. This is going to be presented by Chief McClure and Ms. McCray.
Yes, and actually I'd like to let Ms. Anna McCray, who's the emergency manager, to speak to this.
All right.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for your time. We have opportunity through the National Weather Service to apply for Storm Ready certification. And this is just an opportunity to acknowledge the hard work that the board, the Division of Fire, Division of Police, and all the other county agencies have put into our recent efforts for citizen notification.
Okay, there's a sign that I see as I drive in on Cary Street Road. Sometimes it says the City of Richmond is storm ready. Would we put up a sign like that?
Absolutely.
In the other direction?
Absolutely. Chesterfield is also another storm ready community, so
okay.
We can.
So we can put up our signs after this.
Well, I'm ready. We're ready. Huh? All right. Any question, board members? If not, a motion.
Move approval of the resolution.
All right. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, seconded by Mr. Thornton.
Yes, I
second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Item 137-08 is a resolution. This is for acceptance of the donation of NOAA, all hazard weather radios, from Ms. Susan Newton.
Okay.
One of the metrics that we do have with the Storm Ready program is to ensure that we have additional methods to notify the public. I was approached by Ms. Newton to see if she could make a donation to the Division of Fire and ask how we could best use this.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her generosity, we were able to procure 30 NOAA weather radios that we're going to place in numerous access points where the public congregates, for example, in libraries, in any other, you know, kind of agencies, departments that would be interested in having this available to them. Ms. Newton is with us tonight, and I just wanted to thank her immensely over and over again for us.
Thank
for her kind donation.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Ms. Newton, thank you very much, and I move resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover and second by Ms. O'Bannon, and we accept this gift for the thanks of the board and the citizens. Mm-hmm. All favors. Say aye.
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 Thank you.
I just had one question for Anna McCray. When these go in the libraries, where are they going to be in the library?
I'm going to be working with Mr. McKenna to establish a good place to put them. It will probably be in an area where the public can hear it, but we're working closely with the libraries to make sure that their emergency evacuation plans or emergency notification plans are in place in the libraries. So this will be a good opportunity for outreach to additional county staff to talk about preparedness and what to do and how to react and make sure that the public is safe.
Because the other night ago, mine was going off. I think you heard about every hour on the hour, and it kept you awake all night.
We're going to make sure that the radios are properly programmed to only pick up notifications for Henrico and make sure that the head librarians, in this case, within the libraries, are familiar with the radios and know how to program them and make sure that they're in an alert mode at all times.
Because I was going to say, people sitting there reading and that thing goes off, it'll wake the dead.
Yes.
And people would jump up and maybe rush out the door. But the other thing, just as an FYI, that I have the alert system that also does my cell phone, and it said it couldn't. The next morning I turned on my email, and I had all these emails that said, alert, alert, we couldn't get your cell phone.
And we are aware of that. The service provider, Roam Secure, is working with Verizon to address a gateway issue where Verizon was interpreting the messages as spam, so it was bouncing the alert.
Uh-huh.
So if your cell phone had been deactivated in our system, you can just go back in and reactivate it, uh-huh. And Roam Secure is working with Verizon to try to address that.
But I was up all night with the other alarm system. But, yeah, it's a great idea. It's terrific. But you're right. It's a way to educate the public, you know, at the radio. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 138-08. This is a resolution, award of a contract for consulting services. This is for the Citizens Relationship Management, or CRM, system that we discussed with you. Ms. Harper can answer any questions that you wish.
I think this is self-explanatory. This first step in the big program.
Yes, sir, it is. This would provide us the information we need in order to make the decisions about what aspects of the program we want to incorporate.
Yeah, okay. Once a program is formulated and proceeds, would this fall under a particular department or covers
communication
effort.
That decision hasn't been made yet, Mr. Chairman. It has been talked about, but I've not made that decision.
All right. Well, I thought it was an interesting question.
The consultant will provide us some information that will be helpful to us on that, to answer that question, because they will be looking and interviewing 11 to 13 departments that are the top candidates to be in using this system for the citizens to access. They'll also be talking with you as a board in order to make recommendations to the county in proposing what aspects of citizen relationship management we need.
But it is limited to general government and not include the schools.
Yes.
Right.
You know, I used to get an average of, I think it was 11 or 12 phone calls a day, and now that number has been reduced because I get emails, you know, instead of about 27 emails a day. But are they just going to take phone calls?
We have, that's the other part. There are components of the citizen relationship management. One is an improved web portal that would have a lot more access for emails, mm-hmm. as well as a call center, as well as there's several different aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be evaluating all those aspects to the possibilities.
A lot of people have those PDAs and that sort
yes,
of thing. So
that's right.
Yeah, well, this bid was the middle of three different bids, and I guess
yes.
the low bid was apparently not
really low.
Well, the low bid bidder has done a lot of work with call centers only, but has not had experience in other types of communication. And our major concern also was that they had only really had experience in one city, whereas the one that we are recommending to you that to award the contract has had experience in many cities.
Okay. There are no other questions, a motion would be in order.
Move approval of the resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denati. The resolution be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 139-08 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is revised ingress-egress easement and agreement for Pump Station, Pump Station Road, which is located in the Verizon District. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the chairman and clerk to execute a revised ingress-egress easement and agreement with the owners Arthur P. and Jacqueline H. Dean, Thager L. and Sheila M. Dean, John Aylett Dean and Carol A. Dean, and Limit R. Baker for access to White Oak Road, which access is required for the county's Bottoms Bridge pump station that is under construction. The original ingress-egress easement and agreement authorized by the board August 14, 2007 needs to be revised due to a realignment of the access draw. The Director of Public Utilities and the Real Property Department recommend approval of this paper.
Okay. And Brian, does anybody have any questions regarding resolution?
Is that whole yellow blob there, is that Mr. Dean's property?
This one is Linwood Baker. This is John Dean. This is Staggered Dean here. This is Mr.
That's all Dean property, that whole yellow.
Yes, sir.
Yep, okay.
And this is the pump station.
Mm-hmm. They celebrate Groundhog Day down there all the time.
Mm-hmm. I had some sausage this morning.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Yes. I'll do it.
Second.
To do what?
Approve it?
Approve it.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Denati, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. And one more.
Two more, Mr.
Two
Chairman.
More? Okay.
Item 140-08 is a resolution for acceptance of roads.
Lord always give us roads.
Yes, sir. This board paper would accept a little over a half mile of road into the county road system from two subdivisions in the Fairfield District.
Okay. Is there a motion? Is this in Fairfield District?
Second.
Move resolution.
Moved by Mr. Thornton, second by Mr. Glover.